On April 17, 2001, I was given a birthday present of a ticket to the performance of Carmen de Burunda at GHS. I was so impressed with all the local actors, musicians, and dancers that I spent the next 90 days rewriting my opera, Rock, a Musical Experience. The original script was written in the 60s and 70s for an adult audience. After attending the performance, I wrote a family-friendly version that can be performed on any high school stage. I focused on the talent in front of me and customized the script accordingly. I was most excited about the dancers. After seeing their professional performance, extra dance parts were added that were not in the original script. The set design was based on the GHS auditorium. When I completed the new script to Rock, a Musical Experience, I went publishing hunting and quickly got nowhere. I found out everybody has a script they want to get published or produced. Where do you sell a play? To other players? The publishers I talked to said they only publish books, not plays. So, I asked the next publisher I spoke to, if I write a book about how I wrote the play, would you be interested in looking at it? The publisher answered me,
yes, write about the stories you shared with me in just a few minutes. And with your passion as a storyteller, send it to me when you're done.
The passion to tell a good story would surpass my 50-year need to play live music in a band. I was playing keyboard in the Get the Cat band when the idea to write a book started taking over my creative thinking. While playing with Chuck Ring and the Gypsy Band, I started putting sticky notes up everywhere about things I wanted to say in the book. It was a blast playing rock and roll with Chuck. He can sing anything. He has an unlimited mind for remembering lyrics to songs. It was a lot of fun to play a supporting instrument behind this front man. But I was learning writing a book would have to be a more full-time adventure if I ever wanted to finish it. In 2015, I retired from performing to go full-time writing a book. Thank you to Todd Willingham for letting me play in his Center Stage Country Band for the last years of playing in front of an audience. His band was a great bunch of local musicians, and they were some of my brothers in music. This grandpa had a great time playing and singing with those boys. But I turned my back on performing live and began hiding out at Rocky Lake writing the book. For generations to come. I even missed something I was looking forward to, my 50th high school reunion. I did not go because the book was not done yet. I felt that I did not have anything worth something to show after 50 years, so I stayed at the studio 10 miles away and worked on the book. I designed the cover for the book 2 years before writing one. I had a poster-sized one printed up, and it was displayed by the kitchen table to inspire me to get started writing. I kept telling myself, you have finished the cover, now fill it. Get started writing the book. Sorry to say, it took me 2 years of looking at the cover before I started writing about how I wrote the play Rock, a Musical Experience. I saw the second book explaining how I wrote the first one, Far Into the Future. The desire to create is the difference between some and many. Some have it, many don't. My children are a blessing to me each day for walking away from the music business. Hearing my music being played on the radio is not important to me anymore. I no longer seek riches, fame, or the rewards of man, but I store my treasures in heaven. In 2004, I got a call from the hospital in Greenville that Carolyn was there and she was not expected to live. I rushed to her bedside, but shortly after I arrived, a hospice worker came into the room and said,
"You cannot be here in this room. We have read your mother's will, and she specifically said she did not want you around her at this time. You will have to leave this room.
It did not surprise me a bit that Carolyn had put something in her last will and testimony to hurt me after her death. She reached out from her graveside to punish me one more time. I had to leave the room and go sit in another empty room until hospice decided what to do with her. After a couple hours, they came into the room where I was and asked,
"Where is her family? Doesn't anybody care that she's here?"
I told them, "I am her only child, and I am the only one that will take care of her now. Please let me take her to her home. That is where she would want to die, in her home." Hospice would not let me ride in the ambulance to her house, nor would they let me take her inside when we got there. After 2 hours passed with my mother still lying in the ambulance, I opened the back door of the ambulance and started taking her out. I asked the driver, "Will you help me take my mother inside, please?" And he did. And I took my mother inside and put her to rest in her own bed. Then the ladies of hospice told me,
"We have never heard of anyone leaving such harsh restrictions in their will to stop someone from being around them at the time of their death. And what is more confusing is you are her only child, and she left exact orders not to let you around her in any way."
Then both ladies said,
We are very sorry for you, Ronnie.
Carolyn watched me take my first breath of life, and I watched her take her last. The day that Carolyn went to be the Lord, I felt a significant release of stress. I knew that I would not in any way be able to hurt her anymore, no matter what I did. I had the right to love my mother, and I did, and I still love her today. The day she died, I took the most valuable thing in her home so I wouldn't lose it. It was her Bible with all the handwritten notes and markers.
Well, Mother, after all, no one really can resist a rich, moist cake made with a Betty Crocker cake mix.
The next day, I went back to her home and got the second most valuable thing, her old Betty Crocker cookbook with all the recipes she fed me as a child.
It's just as fluffy and moist as the cakes Betty Crocker and her staff make.